Welcome to you all. Another Lord's Day online worship service at Dune United Reformed Church. We're glad that you could be with us. As you notice on the Dune URC Facebook page, we've added a video component for this week. We're glad to be able to add that element so we can worship together in a little fuller format that way. Welcome to all of you who are listening at your homes or wherever it is that you might be, both in the area around Dune United Reformed Church, as members of Dune United Reformed Church, and for those of you who are anywhere around the world listening to us by way of our website or by sermon audio. Our call to worship for this morning comes to us from Psalm 86, verses 9 and 10. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Let's take a moment to pray together as we worship our Lord this morning. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we are glad that when it comes to the times in which we live, they are times that belong to you. And especially are we consoled to know that we belong to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are grateful that this can be so by the blessing of your Spirit and your fatherly mercies to us that surround us all. We pray that our time of worship may be a time of thanksgiving, a time of reliance upon you, upon a time where we acknowledge the great God and Savior, and it may be a time in which your Spirit is with us mightily, so that in all this time you might receive the adoration and the praise that you so richly deserve. We pray that you'd accept our prayers for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And he greets you this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn in our Psalter hymnals, if you have one. Otherwise, you could pick it up digitally. There's also copies, of course, at church that you could pick up as well. And our first song is going to be number 353 out of the Blue Psalter hymnal, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And we'll sing all three stanzas. And as was the case last week, we will take a moment to pause, or you can take a moment to pause to sing this song, and then we will resume our worship. We want to take a moment to read from the law of God this morning, and as we do so, again, to be consoled that, as was mentioned in some of the devotionals that were done this week on the Facebook page of Dune URC, we have the changelessness of God and the changelessness of the Word of God to hold us steady during times that definitely know their changes. And so we take great consolation in hearing from God's Word this morning. And a summary of it can easily be such that we get reminded that life for us is not about so much about what we get, but what we can give. Adoration to our God, and certainly assistance to those around us as we love our neighbor as ourselves. Such is the life of Christ for us, such is to be our lives as well. We hear from Exodus chapter 20 these words. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We thank the Lord for his unchanging ways and his unchanging word to us. We're going to take a moment to respond and sing, "Lord, like the publican I stand." We also find, as we hear from the law of God, about how God deserves and demands our all. He's worthy of it. And we recognize, too, that we find ourselves falling short of perfection. Thankfully, that's not the case with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose righteousness we cherish. But we do want to come in a penitential spirit, as we're called to, as creatures and as those made new in Christ and seeking God's mercy. So we sing 430, "Lord, like the publican I stand." We find words of assurance and gospel throughout these days in which we're living. Again, like I've been mentioning, whether they're ordinary or extraordinary days, how we need to know the good news of Jesus Christ. And we find that throughout the pages of Scripture. And Isaiah chapter 43 gives us words of assurance from our God and Savior. In verse 25 it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Great assurance that we have that such is the case for us, as we heard last week too. God gives us his word that such is true, and then also he swears that this is the way it will be, and it's because we have a great high priest in heaven, Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, an endless priesthood, a lasting priesthood, so that we can always know God's favor. And we can always know Christ's intercession for us. And with that in mind, we want to take some time this morning to be in prayer. We have many things for which we can be praying. Let's take advantage of doing that. And also, as we lead into the Word, we're going to be also asking for the Lord's illumination on His Word this morning. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, it's a time again for us to praise You. And we are grateful that we may be able to do it. We're glad that there's desire in our hearts to do it, that Your Spirit has kindled in our hearts, as You soften our hearts, as You enable us, Lord, to pray, to take great desire in serving our God in worship, even as You've called us to serve You in all other ways for the sake of Jesus. It's a time, Father, where we want to thank You that You continue to be the one in whom we have the everlasting arms, who carries us through all things. And we would pray, Father, that more and more people in these days of uncertainty may know the certainty of God's promises in their lives through Jesus Christ, to know a God who can truly be there for us in all times and in every way, a Savior who can fulfill His promise, who will keep His promise to be with His people always till the close of the age. The blessing of knowing the dwelling of Your Holy Spirit in our hearts, so that while we confess that we belong to that holy temple of the Church of Jesus Christ, where God dwells in the midst, we may be able also as individual members know that sanctity. We may know that we too, remarkably, have become temples of the Holy Spirit. So so that we together may be able to honor you in holy ways to which you've called us, to declare the praises of him who has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a grateful people that way, Father. And as we are grateful, we share and we express that gratitude, not in a way where we're putting our head in the sand, not in a way in which ignorance is bliss. We do realize, Father, that these are challenging days, and they are challenging days for many different people, for this world in which we live, for the members of this world, the people who live in it. It's been a time that people have either been directly or indirectly affected by the events of the day. They've been impacted by sickness. We focus on the coronavirus, but certainly there's always other things too that are causing pain and sickness and heartache. But certainly this particular malady has drawn the attention of the world, and it has certainly had its impact on people in so many different ways. And we would ask that as we think about that impact and how it affects us all, that more and more people may be finding themselves relying on you in these days, and that in your providential way, that you will bring about, Father, measures of relief, that you would bring about answers to problems, solutions to problems, answers to questions, that you will give unto those who are in particular need, physically as well as spiritually, what is needed so that those needs might be filled. We think of those who have been made low physically through this coronavirus, but we also think, Lord, about their families, and we think about those who are seeking to address their needs physically, in medical ways, in political ways. We think about those who are in authority over us, who have weighty decisions to make. And those decisions are not always easy ones for them to make. And the weight of that, those decisions, is truly heavy oftentimes. It's oftentimes an unenviable position in which to be. But grant unto those people the strength they need, the wisdom they need, so that they may be able to address these matters well. We think about others in authority, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our churches, and other places, Lord, where decisions have to be made for the welfare of homes, of churches, of the workplace. We're reminded, Lord, as the governor of Iowa, Governor Reynolds, has made clear to us that we will not be able to meet physically for at least another week again, as she has extended her edict to April 7. And so we know that not only for this Sunday, but next Sunday as well, that we will be in need of carrying on with these online services. We pray again that the governor may be blessed, that our president might be blessed, that the leaders of the world might know your blessing as they confront the issues that are before them. We think, Father, that about our own people, the fellowship of faith to which we belong here. May your blessings be upon the elders and deacons as they make decisions, that your blessing would be upon the membership. We're thankful for the ways in which we can be looking out for one another, praying for one another, and looking to you for help in all things. It's a time, Father, where we realize and we acknowledge that these are difficult days. And for some, it's a matter of being able to even put food on the table. And wherever it is, Lord, that in your providence and whatever means you seek to use, and as you call us to, as a Church of Jesus Christ, to open a benevolent hand, we pray that you'll help us to do that, so that we might shine forth the benevolence of Christ in the ways in which we operate. But give your blessing, Lord, to the workplace in times when stores are shut and businesses can't operate like they normally do. In your marvelous and inscrutable manners, may you help people in times of need, and use your people and use means to accomplish these ends. We'd ask, Lord, that your word may be a blessing to us in this day. As we read it, as we have it ministered to us, may we find it to be a word that's faithful and clear and relevant and moves us by your Spirit to respond in faith, in hope, in love, in praise of you now, but in service to you every moment. May your guidance be upon us in both of these services today. And may you accept our prayers. Give blessing, Lord, as we mention all of these things. We think about the academic element too. Teachers, principals, board members of various institutions too. That here too, that you'll help those who are continuing to try to advance educationally and to praise you in those moments as well. Accept our prayers. We ask them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Another song that we can be singing would be number 354, which is Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. Of course, one of the things that we're not able to do that we normally would do if we were worshiping is we would be giving of our gifts, and we're thankful for our diaconate that's always been faithful in ministering in times of need for the cause of Jesus Christ. And again, we want to recognize that even though we're not in a position where we can give here, the calling for us to continue to show forth our gratitude and our giving is ours to remember. We're thankful to the deacons who have shown forth to us in a past letter that they sent about how to deal with giving and to what we can be giving. We pray that as we think about giving, we'll continue to do so in a manner that is cheerful and that remembers how God has graciously given to us in Jesus Christ, so we can reflect him in this way. We're going to be singing 354, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. And having sung this song, we now turn to God's Word, to Matthew 27, verses 1 through 10. My friends, I've been wanting to spend a little bit of time in Matthew, and particularly this chapter, as we are approaching Good Friday and Easter. And I don't want to lose sight of that either as we deal with these things that are rather unusual in our lives, to say the least. But to try to do what we normally would do is consider the cross as we get closer to Good Friday and the resurrection celebrations that we would have on Easter Sunday. So we turn to Matthew 27 and consider verses 1 through 10 there. This is what God's word says to us. When morning came, all the chief priests and teachers, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then when Jesus, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and brought with them, the potter's field, as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what has been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." We do want to thank the Lord for his word and pray that it may be a blessing to us as we have it ministered to us this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if someone handed us the equivalent of 4 months' worth of work, we might think that might be quite a sum of money. And certainly we've been hearing discussions about monies being carried and handed out, distributed in our nation, and we see those distributions as being quite significant too. We think to ourselves about what we might imagine we can do with that money, especially if it happened to be something that was 4 months' worth of work. But imagine that someone sold us for that kind of money. Wouldn't we be offended? Wouldn't we think we would be worth more than that? Then that wouldn't be seen as very much money at all. But that's the amount that Judas got for giving Jesus to his enemies. About 4 months' worth of work. That's not very much for a person whose blood Peter would describe as being something worth more than any amount of gold or silver. Unlike Jesus, we're to see that Jesus is worth more than anything in the world. Nothing and no one are to be more precious than he is to us, because nothing else can be. It's the reason we praise him from week to week and serve him from day to day. And if you are one of those people today who is missing the in-person worship of God, if that's something that you have been missing in these past couple of weeks in Jesus Christ, well, the priceless work and worth of Jesus Christ is a huge reason why you're missing it. Matthew's the only one who mentions the remorse of Judas. But he's not the only one who mentions the death of Judas. That's also something that Luke mentions in his book of Acts. Mentioning his remorse underscores what a bargain his enemies received for the innocent blood of the Lord of glory. And such an undervaluing of Jesus points to the judgment that comes to those who reject Jesus Christ as the shepherd of their souls. From the positive side of things, we see how precious the blood of Christ truly was and is for all who believe, and that value is something that should be very much appreciated in uncertain times such as these. This morning we will focus on these 30 pieces of silver, which was the price of innocent blood, and it was the price of the potter's field. Spend more time talking about the price of innocent blood, lesser time talking about the potter's field, but we'll cover both of those bases this morning. First of all, the 30 pieces of silver are the price of innocent blood. What you see happening here in Matthew 27 is really a combination of two passages out of the Old Testament. One of them is Zechariah 11, verses 4 through 17. And the other one is Jeremiah 19, verses 1 through 13. Judas cries that he has shed innocent blood. And if you went back to the Levitical laws, if you went back to the first five books of Moses, we would hear in a place like Deuteronomy 27, 25, that it was a curse to shed innocent blood. A sin that the Lord especially hated, that we read about in Proverbs chapter 6, when it talks about these sins that God especially hates. And one of them that he mentions is the very one that's mentioned in Deuteronomy 27, 25, and that is the shedding of innocent blood. Now, it's one thing to shed innocent blood. It's another thing to shed the blood of the perfect Son of God and Son of Man. The idea of innocent blood being shed was an issue in Zechariah, in Jeremiah, in Proverbs, in Deuteronomy. But it all comes to fruition and climax as we hear about it being done in the case of Jesus Christ, that one who doesn't deserve condemnation. And we're going to talk a bit more about that later on in our evening or our second service. But the sum that's being used to betray innocent blood is paltry. The Bible says that 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave. Exodus 21, verse 32. 30 pieces of silver is the price of a slave. Such was the price for which the Savior was betrayed. It was also the price that Israel paid so that the prophet Zechariah would no longer be the good shepherd of Israel. In Zechariah 11, and Zechariah is not, admittedly, one of those books we turn to often, but in that chapter of Zechariah in the Old Testament, we read that Zechariah is the good shepherd. But in verse 8 of Zechariah 11, we hear that the people hate him. His sheep don't like their shepherd. And so the Lord tells Zechariah, break your contract with them because they've rejected you. And when he does, they pay the paltry sum of 30 pieces of silver. So lowly did they think of his work. They didn't view him as a shepherd. They viewed him as a slave. And that's the quotation we have in verse 9 of our passage today. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, but not only him, but also in Zechariah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel. This is the price that Israel pays to get the good shepherd out of their lives and out of their hair. But what happens when you're deprived of your good shepherd? Well, if you keep reading in Zechariah, we hear that the sheep are ravaged. And that's what happens when the leaders undervalue their good shepherd. You either get no shepherds, or you get foolish shepherds, or you get corrupt shepherds, which means destruction of the flock will be at hand. As I mentioned, this is a combination fulfillment. In Jeremiah 19:4, innocent blood is mentioned, just like in our passage in chapter 27, verse 4. In Jeremiah 19:1, a potter is mentioned. A potter is mentioned in Matthew 27, verse 10. In Jeremiah 19:6, a parcel of land changes names from the valley Ben-Hinnom to the valley of slaughter. In Matthew 27:7 and 8, the potter's field becomes known as the field of blood. In Jeremiah 19, destruction for Israel is predicted due to the shedding of innocent blood, most likely the burning of sons in Moloch worship. the fulfillment in Matthew 27, verse 9, of the destruction of Israel from the passages in Jeremiah and Zechariah begins to unfold here as the 30 pieces of silver, the price of innocent blood, is used to buy a field to bury people outside of the covenant. It would have been considered a place polluted. It was going to be a burial place for strangers, we read. It's for the people that are considered less than noble, worthy of blood money alone, not worthy for use before the Lord, and that's why you couldn't put the silver into the temple treasury. Innocent blood like no other, because this is perfect blood, is betrayed. Destruction's at hand for those who betray utterly innocent blood in this undervalued manner, who treat the Lord of salvation and glory like a common slave, as if he's worthless, when he's actually worthy of our worship. And he's worthy of our trust and worthy of a world of gratitude. What you get for treating him in this undervalued manner in the end is death, destruction, catastrophe. What is polluted that way, unfit to be before the Lord, like the field of blood. When the good shepherd, you see, is undervalued, and when he's rejected, the sheep will be devoured and know the consequence. Now, Judas faced that consequence. And so would Jerusalem one day in AD 70. Because Israel had underestimated the goodness, the value, and the worthiness of Jesus Christ. Those things happen. Is it any wonder that it is money unfit for use then in the house of the Lord? The destruction that Israel would face at the hands of the Romans in AD 70 would be bad, but it still pales in comparison to the eternal destruction that we face if we underestimate the goodness and the importance and the righteousness and the worthiness and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Such an attitude is unworthy to stand before the sight of God. Sooner or later, as with Judas and the leaders of Israel, we will find ourselves in the most desperate of situations, greater than the judgment of Jerusalem, greater than even the greatest of desperations we might face in our lives, including the days in which we live right now. Consider what Judas experienced. He experienced the woe, the desperation, the hopelessness, the damnation that was facing him for his treasonous act. He came to discover, as did the elders for that matter, when they say, "What is that to us?" that Jesus was innocent and altogether righteous. And he saw that when he also saw that Jesus had been condemned. But what he knew in his head had not touched his heart any more than those who purchased the betrayal. Here's a person who you can tell doesn't know the touch of grace. This is on the heels of Peter's denial, of course. But while there's hope for Peter, there is no hope for Judas. He testifies to his wrong, but he doesn't testify to the Lord. He throws the silver in the temple, just like Zechariah was supposed to do, just like he was supposed to throw the silver in the temple to show how vile it is to belittle the good shepherd before the holy God. Judas is an instrument in God's hands to show how utterly shallow it is to betray Christ, to belittle him, to consider him worthless. How hopeless we are if we hold the good shepherd in contempt. We do not appreciate him. If we try to trade him in for the paltry pleasures of the world. How sad that is. How pathetic that is. That is not worth envying. Many things may seem worth getting in place of Jesus. They may be worth more than 30 pieces of silver even, but they are no more able to outweigh the value of Christ's blood and Christ's righteousness than the silver pieces, those 30 pieces of silver could do. I think it's safe to say that in these days, more people have had a sense of desperation than there has been in quite some time, but not because they have undervalued Christ. Those who undervalue Christ are not worth the envy. In times when desperation increases, the need to value Christ increases. It's all the more important. The day of judgment comes when many will know an unprecedented desperation. You'll be glad if you're able to say on that day, I am not desperate, because I belong to the one who takes my desperation away. I belong to Christ. You may not think that you're Judas, but because of your sin, as is the case with me, innocent blood was shed. But what gladness to know there's a place to go to find forgiveness for that sin and righteousness before God, and it's through that very innocent, precious blood of Jesus Christ shed. It's then that his righteousness becomes ours. We will not then be without God and without hope in this world of desperation, because God will look at us as innocent as he looks at Jesus. We won't have to know desperation, and we can know the rest of Christ as he calls us to himself and to see just how precious his blood is for us for all times. Whether it's the everyday for which we long, or these unexpected and uncertain days. The elders are actually more pathetic than Judas. They said to Judas, "What is that to us?" They act as if they've done nothing amiss. They don't care. They have no guilt for rejecting the true shepherd, but that's true about many people today. There are many people today that show no remorse. Their consciences are clear. They don't need to profess Christ. They don't need Christ. And they never really worry about whether having Christ is that important. All that matters, all that means, I should say, is a life that's heading for destruction unless that conscience is changed. And we pray for that change in people's lives. We're professing Christ is right now just at best a take it or leave it affair. Don't look at it that way. Look what happened to the leaders who rejected the Christ. It led to their destruction and all those upon whom they had an influence. All because the value of the shepherd didn't mean that much to them. It didn't mean anything to them. These are days, my friends, where people are valuing their lives, and they're valuing their lives greatly, and that's understandable. Life is precious, isn't it? But when those precious lives of ours seem to be so fragile, it's at those times when we need to hold on to that which is even more precious than our lives. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the work in person, the blood of Jesus Christ. Because while life is precious, nothing's more precious than to appreciate what the innocent blood of Jesus Christ has done for us, so that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing's more precious than that. If we own that precious gift, God calls us to stay as always, to live a life that's worthy of that gospel. Praise God. Worthy is the Lamb that's been slain. Show the world, tell the world, that nothing's more precious to you than Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We take a brief look at the purchase of the field of blood. Judas was so desperate that he threw the money into the temple. It was symbolic of his contempt for the Lord and that of the leaders, a contempt that was before the Lord. The leaders, major and minors here now. We can't put this money back in the treasury of the temple. It was blood money. Okay, it was all right. It was all right to take the money originally meant for sacrifice and use it for murder, but it's not okay to put it back into the treasury. They're majoring on minors. And so they try to salvage the matter by buying a field that probably had good clay in it for pots made for the temple. They try to make good ends out of evil means. They're trying to make lemonade out of lemons. But they fail to see that the sacrilege continues. No matter whether they don't put the money in the treasury or whether they go and buy a field. The potter's field will from now on be known as the field of blood. It'll be a testimony to the rejection of the good shepherd. It'll be a memorial to the greatest of injustices that the world has ever known. The condemnation of the innocent, righteous, legitimate Lord of glory. And it will always point to the rejection of the precious gift of God that Jesus Christ is. The name Valley of Ben Himmon was changed to Valley of Slaughter as a sign of the judgment to come. The field of blood will be a sign of judgment for condemning the innocent blood of the Good Shepherd without reason and without shame. What is that to us? This polluted field that would bury strangers, those not of the covenant, would point to the nation's destruction, where they too would be treated as strangers before the Lord. I never knew you. For rejecting the Lord without a reason, without a cause. And you know, there still are no good reasons to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are certainly no good reasons to reject him in these days, when life can seem so fragile and when so many things that we thought were so important don't seem so important, when our health is at risk. On the contrary, there is every reason to value Jesus, and every reason to value him at a time when our mortality comes out of hiding, make us think about what our priorities should be. And our priorities should be to be believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just so we can cope with viruses, but also so that we can be rescued from eternal judgment and hopelessness and all the terrors of unbelief and all the apathy of unbelief, and rescued from the foolish contempt of a Savior who alone can provide for us through good times and bad, for time and for eternity. Jesus, who underwent the contempt of a slave to redeem his people from their slavish and contemptuous ways. If we don't want to be treated like a stranger in the valley of slaughter, we better not reject the Good Shepherd. It's foolish to do that. Not just because we're going to face judgment for doing it, but because the love of this shepherd. This care of this shepherd is exactly what we need in troubling times. Nothing's more precious than Christ and his bloodshed. May this be our profession always, as we live a life worthy of the gospel before a world that needs to trade an old life in for Christ and never let him go in these troubling times, and any time for that matter. Amen. Let's take a moment to respond to the Lord's word in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you that the innocent blood of Christ, though shed in a way that was heinous and was unjust, is that very innocent blood that, having been shed, allows us to be seen through faith in Christ as innocent before you. And we're grateful that while that blood was shed, this good shepherd, because he was innocent, wouldn't know death forever, but life everlasting. And he continues to be that good shepherd for our souls that we need in good times and bad, for time and for eternity. Thank you for the good shepherd and for how he has accomplished what we could not, so that we could know your shepherding influence through him, through thick and thin. Accept our prayers and our thanks for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Our song of response is going to be number 376, O Christ, Our Hope, Our Heart's Desire. And here, too, we're going to sing all the stanzas of 376. We finish our service with God's benediction upon you. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, both now and forever. Amen. Our doxology will be 493. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.